Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Big hour to close the show. Kirk Morrison, former NFL linebacker, in about 6 minutes at 9:10. He's a pre- and post-game host for the Los Angeles Rams. We'll get into some of what you need to know for tonight's Raiders-Rams matchup. Carson Palmer is going to join us at 9:30. We will recap Lowe versus Dibs and all the good stuff from the weekend around 9:45. But more of your calls now, 888-957-9570. Topic of conversation is NFL Week 1. Mostly about the Niners and the performance of Jimmy Garoppolo. Some are split. Some feel that there was an absolute trash performance, and that now that you've been paid $137.5 million over the life of your contract, you are going to be expected to produce more. You are going to be held to a higher standard. Understandable. On the flip side, it is one game, and it was Minnesota. This is like 2 years ago when Lowe's beloved Fresno State Bulldogs opened up at Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think many people gave Fresno much of a chance, and they ended up losing by about 40.
We covered, though, Joe.
Did cover, from what I understand. Following week, went to number 6, Washington, and ended up losing that game. And most people then quietly dismissed Jeff Tedford in his first year back with Fresno State and the rest of the Bulldogs. And then the Bulldogs rattled off, like, what, 8 wins or something over the next 10 games?
Yes, they did.
They had a hell of a season. The point being, if you were a Niner fan, are a Niner fan, and you thought that this team was going to go to Minnesota and look outstanding and win that game, perhaps that was somewhat of an unreasonable expectation. Nothing wrong with that, looking on the bright side of things, but you didn't open with Indianapolis. You didn't open with Miami or Dallas. You just opened with what many believe could be the best team in the NFL on the road in their house. You lost by 8. All things considered, it's not the end of the world, but that does not mean the team is without flaw, because there were several mistakes made yesterday. So we're taking your conversation on all that. 888-957-9570. Steven Marin. Steve, thank you for your phone call. Your thoughts on yesterday's game.
Hey, Joe, outside perspective from another Eagles fan here. When you pay somebody that much money, you're not paying them to go out and beat up on the Jets or the Colts. You're paying them to go on the road in tough situations and play well and give your team the confidence that they're going to play well. He didn't do that. You could say he lost in the game with the number of interceptions he threw. Now, maybe if this was Sage Rosenfeld, you could say, yeah, he did well under this. But this is Jimmy Garoppolo with the contract he gets. And when you pay your quarterback that much money, I expect a little more.
An uptick there at the end.
That's a good effort at the uptick.
Yeah, it was a solid call, too. You're right. At that price point, you're the one that should carry the rest of the team to the finish line.
Yes, which is why I gave him a D+, Jimmy G, on his grade for me, because 3 interceptions, including a pick 6. If you wouldn't have made that play, and I know the receiver ran the wrong route, but if that didn't happen, it's a less than a 1-score game. Maybe you have a chance to actually win the football game. If you go ahead and punt it, you don't end up falling down 20-3. So I thought that pass, while not his fault, was reckless to throw that pass when you were going to get sacked either way. Ultimately, 3 interceptions, that does fall on him.
Here's where this gets interesting for me. On Friday, I specifically tailored a segment to what could we overreact to on Monday? What could happen in Minnesota that we would all end up overreacting to? Because we know that's how this works. And everyone said the same thing. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot we overreact to. Remember, it's Minnesota. They're really good. It's a tough situation. The Niners have issues on the offensive line, in the secondary. X, Y, Z was all laid out. Then the game played out. It ended pretty much the way you would expect. And we come in Monday, and people are furious over Garoppolo's performance. They think he totally flushed it down the toilet. We had the opportunity in advance to discuss it, and we all said, no, it's a really good opponent. And then we came in Monday anyway and heard, the chaos that is the 0-1 start to the season. Bring back Tom Sula? Is that take out there yet?
I don't know, nor is the C.J. Beathard. Is he warming up? I didn't see any sideline shots of Beathard doing the loosening the noodle like that kid in the Cam Newton commercial, you know? I didn't see any of those of CJ getting that loose. So you're right. You did give us a chance to give tomorrow's hot takes today, I think is what you called it on Friday. And we all said, no, we won't crush Jimmy G. We won't bash him. Ultimately, I'm not the one crushing him. I gave him a D+. Somebody here gave him a straight F.
A D+.
Yeah, it's really...
That was a straight F from you.
D+, that was hanging there.
Not saying you're wrong. You've played the game. You understand what goes into it. I think it's a very valid opinion.
Well, my biggest takeaway, guys, is from this is I didn't think you could win. Guys, if you listen at what we were talking about, I said that they were probably going to win by double digits, and very well he could have lined up in the game and kicked the field goal and won by 11. We saw it. They were on the 20-yard line. If it was more time, they would have kicked the field goal. So I knew the outcome of the game, maybe. But my biggest thing is I also talked about turnovers. I said, when we had John Dickinson on, and you guys were laughing at me because I said, ball, take care of the balls. You can't have the balls on the ground. You can't throw interceptions. I specifically laid it out. And everyone said that I was being crazy because those were the exact words that I use, and check the tape, Dibs.
That's unnecessary. No one's checking anything.
So my biggest thing was take care of the ball. And you did exactly what I was saying that would could hurt you and would hurt you and would help you lose this game. And that's the thing. You don't need to. You don't have to go out there and necessarily go and take over Jimmy G. That's it. If he has to go out there and try to take over, they're not winning this game. You have to play within yourself. If you don't have the weapons but around you and you don't necessarily trust certain guys, then live to fight on another day. Your defense, they bend, but they didn't break. They played well enough to win the game. You play the field position game. Make Kirk Cousins and that team with a suspect offensive line continue to make them drive the length of the field and play field position. Then you look at it, the game could have been maybe even a different outcome. So that's why I graded him so hard, because I don't need you to turn over the ball. I don't need you to go out there and try to go win games in this situation. You're playing against a better team. Don't help the other team. Give them a pick six. Give them 7 on the board. Give them 2 other turnovers, forcing the ball in there. I like to see Jimmy G says, you know what? I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to get a loss of down. I'm going to punt the ball and give my defense a chance. That's why I grade it so tough, Joe.
If you want a takeaway from the game that you can work with that isn't, too overreactionary or not, the one thing that all Niner fans should take away from yesterday is that you are not big enough, fast enough, strong enough, or physical enough to compete with the absolute elite in the NFL, because that's what you saw yesterday. That Minnesota team is one of the top 2 or 3, maybe 4 teams in the league. You're going to be hard-pressed to find 3 or 4 teams better than them. They're fast, they're explosive, they're physical, they're laden with veterans who understand the game, and you saw that yesterday. They were blowing the Niner offensive line off the ball. They were able to run, they were able to throw. Sendejo as a safety is just a violent man. He was making plays and laying wood all over the place. The Niners don't have that at safety. The Niners don't have receivers that can necessarily challenge a secondary like that, and that's okay, because we still know it's part of a rebuild, but it's important to understand that, because we got way ahead of ourselves after that winning streak at the end of last season.
Yep.
Suddenly the Super Bowl odds are dropping to 18-1. People are talking about 11-5. Could this be a quick turnaround? No. You might have a quarterback. You got a good coach, but take your time. You have got to get bigger and stronger, because yesterday they got pushed all over the field. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people would agree with. To the phones we go. 8-year NFL veteran linebacker. Check him out now at SiriusXM, The Athletic, and as a pre- and post-game host for the Los Angeles Rams, Kirk Morrison joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Kirk, good morning, and thank you for your time. We will get to Raiders-Rams in just a moment, but if you had the opportunity to watch San Francisco and Minnesota yesterday, what were some of your takeaways?
What's up? Morning, fellas, by the way, but... I mean, honestly, I expected to see that type of game. Look, we all know about the way the 49ers finished last year and the expectations that were put on them in 2018. But the team that they played against yesterday is, to me, they're my favorite to play against the Rams in the NFC Championship game. They are by far and away just a better football team. And I knew that going in, but I did want to see how will the 49ers compete. How will they compete going against that type of defense, going against an offense that's still learning itself? Honestly, they got a first-year offensive coordinator in John DeFilippo, who I used to work with back in Oakland. So look, I understand where this team is at in terms of the Minnesota Vikings, and I knew the 49ers, it was going to be a tough, especially playing at, you know, on the road, you know, at Minnesota. So what I did see was I saw a team that battled. They had a chance to win the game at the end, or tie the game at the end with one last drive, but at the end of the day, just they've got more weapons, Minnesota did, than San Francisco, and it's I'm just not surprised by the outcome of what I saw yesterday.
And the Rams with a chance to take control of the division early with a game Monday night at the Oakland Raiders. What should we be looking at from this Rams team? Maybe a part of the offense that we don't always hear about. We always hear about Gurley and, of course, the quarterback from up here, Jared Goff. What's some of the more underrated parts about this Ram offense?
Well, I think the offensive line, that last year they had all five starters start every single game besides week 17. I mean, you don't get that in the National Football League. That is a rarity. I mean, you look around the league right now and, you know, you already seen teams start to work guys out, start to get some, you know, some shuffling of their offensive line. And the Rams last year had all five guys start 15 games. They did not start that week 17 game matchup versus the 49ers. But that's the reason why they're able to do what they did last year on offense. And I think, again, this year on offense, even with adding a guy like Brandon Cooks, who works better within this offense for the Rams than a guy like Sammy Watkins. And then you got year three of Jared Goff. And I can tell you this, being in the National Football League, you get to year three, you've actually seen a lot of football. And you know what you can do, what you can't do. You know how to navigate not only your offense, but navigate situations, navigate through defenses. And that's what I think what's going to be with the Rams this year is that they have a more experienced quarterback. It's crazy to say who made the Pro Bowl last year, but they have an experienced offensive line that they've been able to gel with over the last, year and a half.
Kurt, if you're looking at this Rams defense, you look at Sue and you think about the guy to leave, you think about their corners and their defensive line. What is Carr going to have to do to disrupt or to slow these guys down? What should the Raiders' game plan be to be going against this vaunted defense?
It's going to have to be a screen game. It's going to have to be West Coast low. I mean, when I say West Coast, we're talking about short underneath, flanker drives, crossers underneath, get the ball out quickly. Because he won't have the time to sit back and literally, you know, deliver a strike. Because the one thing the Raiders have – look, one of the best interior offensive lines in all of the NFL, and Jackson, you know, Osemele and Hudson, and now they've got three first-rounders that they got to go up against in Michael Brockers and Dominican Sue and Aaron Donald. So I think it's going to be a great matchup in the front interior part of the offensive and defensive lines. But that being said, there will be some constant pressure being, you know, brought Wade Phillips. So with that being said, I think Derek Carr has to get rid of the football early. So a lot of catch-and-run elements I think we're going to see from whether it's Amari Cooper, whether it's Jordy Nelson, but things that you put the ball out there, let your playmakers get it, and try to run away from some of this man coverage that they'll see from Peters and also Tlaib. Don't allow them to sit back. You allow Tlaib, and the Raiders already know, if they allow Peters to sit back and scan the defense and watch, I mean, he's going to gamble. He's going to try to pick Derek Carr every single time.
8-year NFL veteran linebacker Kirk Morrison joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, since the A broadcasting crew is going to be calling this game tonight, it's a Monday night game. There's going to be a lot of focus on John Gruden and all the storylines that come with it. What was your initial reaction when you heard about the deal that sent Khalil Mack to the Bears in exchange for a handful of draft picks?
Well, you've got to be a strong, committed coach to do that. And you talk about a 10-year commitment that Mark Davis gave John Gruden. Yeah, you make that deal when you've got a 10-year commitment. You don't make that deal when you've got 3 or 4 years of a deal. So I understand from the John Gruden aspect of it, but I don't get it more so from a personnel, from an organization standpoint. I get all we want to build for the future. We want to have first-round picks, but to me, first-round picks don't mean anything. Because you're talking about a transcendent player in Khalil Mack, and that is the guy that, you know, we all saw it last night. We don't even have to discuss what the Raiders are going to be missing out on. And you're hoping that Hurst and Key and Hall, you're hoping three guys can give you the production that one guy gave you. That's a lofty, lofty goal. So, look, my eyes are tonight are going to be watching that interior defensive line of the Raiders as well. Do they get a pass rush? Will Bruce Irvin be the bell cow? Because now he doesn't have Khalil Mack. So he is the guy who has to step up his production as well. And we'll see that. But you know, that's kind of been my reaction to the whole thing, is that this is a guy in Khalil Mack you build around. You saw it last night. I mean, the guy is just a game breaker, a game wrecker. You don't have that on your defense.
You look at that.
Now you want to go out and try to figure out, you know, how are we going to get this thing done? And we're going to look in. Basically, by you doing that, you're telling me we're looking toward the future and not necessarily for today.
Kirk Morrison here on 95.7 The Game. Looking at the Raiders defense in the secondary, Gary and Conley had mostly a lost year last year. How important is it for he, and really by proxy Reggie McKenzie, who drafted it, for him to come out and have a big game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, he's got to go out there and play well, because if you look at outside of the draft class, I mean, Reggie hasn't drafted well. And so he needs Conley to kind of prove that, okay, hey, look, we're drafting well. Look what we got here, because the second-round pick's not even on the team anymore in Melifonwu. So, look, Gary and Conley has to go out there and kind of prove to everybody that this is a position that the Raiders needed. They feel like, look, he's going to be a lockdown corner for years to come. You know, I was still, you know, when Reggie picked him, I said, you still got Reuben Foster there. And they could have got a middle linebacker and they kind of helped build around him. But they chose to go with Conley. And with some of those players that were still available, we're going to sit back and just look. And if Conley is not where he's at in year two, you know, is it going to be a similar situation to DJ Hayden? You know, one of Reggie's first draft picks who didn't ever really panned out in Oakland, and he's away from the team already. Same thing with Conley. I mean, it's a new sort of, I guess, regime in terms of John Gruden. And is Conley a Gruden guy? I mean, we'll find out a lot tonight about where this team is at. I think it will be a much closer game than a lot of people may probably expect. But at the same time, defensively, I know Paul Gunther is going to have some things up his sleeve. I'm looking forward to see what he brings in terms of the pressure packages. But the Rams are a rested team. They have not played their starters not one snap during the preseason. So it's going to be kind of scary to see what do the Raiders get from the Rams, because I don't know. They don't know. I think the league doesn't know, because the Rams did something that we had never seen before. Rest your entire first unit throughout the preseason to not allow them to play in one game.
If the Raiders are going to be successful tonight and have a chance against the Rams, how big, what kind of a load is Marshawn Lynch and Martin going to have to impose their will as far as in the run game?
I would say 20 to 30 carries tonight, low. I mean, and then when I say that, I'm talking about just trying to get as much as you can. Tonight, it may be one of those things where it's more about touches than yards, you know, and sometimes you're not going to get 100, 200 yards rushing or average 4.5, 5 a carry. I think it's just going to be about touches. It's just going to be about, hey, 3 yards here, 4 yards here, 2, 1, 5, 4. I mean, I think it's going to be sort of a back and forth. It's about touches. It's also about keeping this offense in rhythm. You don't want to be 3 and out, especially early on. That black hole needs to be rocking. And offensively, if they're moving the ball, getting into drives, I mean, that gives the confidence into Derek Carr as well to be able to make some and take some shots down the field. So I expect to see, you know, a nice dose of Marshawn, a nice dose of Martin as well. But, you know, it's going to really evolve around that offensive line up front. I mean, this is one of the reasons why you couldn't pay Khalil Mack, was because you got so much money invested in the offensive line. We'll see tonight if that offensive line can get some push against three former first-round picks in the National Football League.
Kirk, this may sound like a crazy question, but given the team I'm going to ask about, is it that crazy? Do you see a possible scenario in which the Browns could tie 16 straight games this year?
I saw that yesterday. If they tied 16 games, they would make the playoffs before a team that went 7-9, I believe.
It's
crazy to think that.
Be a hell of a jump.
But yeah, you know, they got to win that game yesterday. That's just not even a question. You got to win that game. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find ways to lose or tie. We saw that last night with Chicago. They found a way to lose that game. You have to win that game. Now, you know, it, look, you feel good because you played well, but you don't. You feel bad at the end of the day because you got to win. Now you only got 15 more opportunities left. It's not really much of an overreaction. I think so much today, and people are overreacting about some of the losses and things that happened. But for me, you learn about good teams fairly quickly, and that's why it's scary to think that even with everything that happened last night, Khalil Mack going off, watching Aaron Rodgers go back to work and win a football game, I mean, that's why the Packers are the Packers and the Browns are the Browns. You have an opportunity. You got to take full advantage of it, and they didn't do that yesterday.
8-year NFL veteran linebacker. Check him out at SiriusXM, The Athletic, and as a pre- and post-game host for the Los Angeles Rams, Kirk Morrison with us here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure getting your insights, Kirk. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, sounds good, fellas. Enjoy the game tonight.
You too. Thank you very much. I mean, that Browns game had it all. It had it all. It goes to overtime. Social was reacting. You know, that like you couldn't see the game for a while. The game cut out because due to contractual obligations, the NFL wasn't allowed, the whoever was broadcasting, CBS, I guess, wasn't allowed to show you any more of it. So all of a sudden, this fascinating game is disappearing into the abyss, and everyone's scrambling to try to find a way to track it.
I tell you what, I'd rather watch that game. I'd rather that game should have been on than watching Dallas Cowboys and friggin' that.
That game was trash.
Yeah. That was in the afternoon window, yeah.
Washington, Arizona was trash. Tennessee, Miami didn't need to be played.
No.
There were a few others out there. The Bengals, Colts, it had a couple plays late. That game was bad. I think Detroit, New York tonight's going to be bad.
That Cleveland game couldn't have ended any better for me. In this whole,
I was so sick.
This $500 kale versus foot massage bet. Cleveland has to win six games for me to lose the bet. And that one should have been a loss.
Do you feel better or worse about that bet today?
Oh, I feel much better.
Really?
Much better. Because
knowing Cleveland had that game as at 1.7-point dogs.
The fact that they donked it off, as you so eloquently like to say, that's a win for me. Because Cleveland, it's going to be close. They're going to win five or six. It's going to go right down to the wire. And that's one that they should have won. So that, to me, even though it's a tie, that's a win for me. Because they didn't get a win.
Just classic.
Huge.
Just a classic Cleveland Browns
scenario.
They're
still okay. They're, you didn't get a loss.
Let me tell you something. They are not okay. They've won one game in 10 years.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson as a head coach is now 131-1. Is that what it is?
In Cleveland, yeah.
33 games. 131-1. He's covered 8-point spreads.
Wow.
So just... That, ladies and gentlemen, is a professional organization. Carson Palmer will join us next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
He's a three-time Pro Bowler and 14-year NFL veteran quarterback. Be sure to check out his episode of A Football Life, which is airing on the NFL Network September 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Ladies and gentlemen, Carson Palmer joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Carson, first and foremost, good morning and thank you for your time. What's it been like this fall in the transition from, I can't even guess how many decades of football you've played, to a year without it?
It's been really, really good. better than I had anticipated, I think. You know, it's when you play for 15 years and you have, I don't know, four or five surgeries, and you have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And when you really know it's time and your body tells you it's time, it's pretty easy to walk away. I've really been enjoying it thus far. I've been enjoying the time. I got four young kids, and I've been enjoying my time with them, teaching them how to fly fish, and finally getting ready for hunting season. I haven't been able to enjoy hunting season because football season is always right in the middle of hunting season. So I don't have any complaints right now. I'm enjoying life.
Wait, Carson, what's up with your boy Lowe? Were you able to bag any birds last week when it opened up? Did you go out there to do that or no?
Not yet. I'm headed to the Midwest for a handful of whitetail hunts that I'm excited about, an elk hunt in Idaho. So I'm trying to keep my wife not too mad at me and trying to overplan my fall with too much hunting and too much time away, but I'm enjoying it thus far.
Well, I understand. I got you, buddy. If you want to go hunting, I got you down there in Leemore. We'll get you some big doves, pheasants. I got you, brother. But anywho, okay. Has the phone been ringing, brother? You watched Arizona play and just watching the quarterback play. You know, at times, what do you say to a guy like that who's a veteran guy? You've been a constant pro, but you just seen the struggle. You look at, you know, who's there, receivers, running back, the defense. It seems like some things are in place in Arizona. What was your takeaway on this team? Is there a resilient enough to bounce back, or is yesterday was just too much of a whooping for this guy and team to bounce back?
Oh, no, there's a ton of character in that locker room and a ton of leadership. And I mean, I would say it's week one. And though, as you know, week one does not measure or gauge your football season. It's great to get a win in week one. It kind of starts things off feeling right. Sometimes it's a wake-up call. It might be a bit of a wake-up call, but at the same time, this is a brand-new coaching staff. This is a new system on offense. This is a new system on defense, new quarterback. The entire offensive line virtually is new because they haven't played together. So, I mean, I would just kind of take a deep breath, get back to work, and it's a resilient group. I know that locker room well, and I look forward to watching those guys play against the Rams. I think they might have some success next week against the Rams, even though everybody's hyping up the Rams to be a Super Bowl contender. There's enough resiliency in that locker room to bounce back.
What should we expect from the Rams tonight, Carson, considering they didn't play their offensive stars throughout the preseason? Should we expect them to come out rusty, or is the preseason such that they don't really need any work to be ready for game one?
See, I've always felt that the preseason is you got to find a way to utilize it. I think you got to play. I think you got to get the reps. You got to get hit. You got to get tackled if you're a running back. And I'm not saying they needed to put David Johnson in for 14 carries a game, but I always like getting the reps in preseason. I think it's vital for an offense just to get, you know, two or three drives in the first two games where you go down and score a touchdown. That creates a certain swag. That creates a certain confidence for you. I think that's important. I don't like seeing teams that just don't want to play any of their starters in the preseason. I just don't think it makes sense. I think, you know, you can't be too afraid of guys getting hurt. I mean, if somebody's going to get hurt, they're going to get hurt. You don't want to lose anybody in the preseason, but it's part of the deal. It's part of the process. It happens every year. And to think, all right, we're going to keep everybody safe and not let anybody get hurt and not play, it's easy to come out and kind of lay an egg on opening day, and that's not a feeling you want to have going into week two.
Carson Palmer joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You and Jimmy Garoppolo played in the same division for a few weeks. A rough outing yesterday for he and the Niners at Minnesota against a great Vikings defense. What did you see in that game, and what can be improved upon? Because today, obviously, very polarizing. Some people saying it's just 1 week. Others saying now that you're making $137.5 million, the expectations are going to be much higher than what was produced on the field.
Well, I think the first thing you saw is how good Minnesota can be. You know, getting Dalvin Cook back and missing him from the previous season, losing Jerick McKinnon to the 49ers, who then they lost in early on this year. You know, I think what you saw is how good that team is in Minnesota, how good that defensive scheme is. I mean, that's one of the better defensive minds in the National Football League. And then you combine his coaching ability, his scheme with some really, really good players at every position. I mean, you look at that Minnesota Vikings team, and there's not a weakness on that defense. There's not somebody that you can hang your hat on and say, okay, we can go after this guy week in, week out. That is a very, very balanced, very deep team. They can stop the run. They can rush the passer. They have two corners that can cover really anyone one-on-one if they have to. So I think that's the first thing that jumped out at me in that game. The other thing is, you know, I mean, it's tough to evaluate a guy on, you know, a handful of games. You know, you had to do something with Garoppolo. You had to pay him. Unfortunately, that's the money you have to pay a starter. But it's just so hard to judge how good a guy can be, especially when they're not a first-round pick or a high first-round pick. It's easy to pay a guy that was a first-round pick because you picked him there for a reason, because he showed that kind of dominance in college. When you don't show that kind of dominance in college, you end up falling to second, third, or fourth round, and then you only play a handful of games, and then you get paid $137 million or whatever it is. It's just hard to gauge a guy that's a second round pick. He wasn't a first round pick for a reason, and then he's only played in a handful of games in a very unique offense that's just different and hard to stop because you don't see very much of that style of offense, and grade him and pay him off of those stats. I think it's a tough spot to put yourself in.
Sure. You talked about Zimmer, what kind of defensive coordinator, one of the better in the league. He has some talent on that defense as well. You look at Wade Phillips, one of the guys, one of the better defensive coordinators as well, can get after you from the 3-4. He's got, Sue. He's got two good corners. Guys can get up, play press man, and do a lot of different things. What is Carr and the running game? What is going to be some of the keys tonight to slow down that defense and keep them off kilter?
Well, are you talking about slowing down the Rams defense?
Yes.
I don't see it happening. I think that defense is so good. Everybody wants to talk about pass rushers and defensive ends and Khalil Mack and all these guys and Von Miller's, these defensive ends. I would much rather play against a dominant defensive end than the most dominant defensive tackle. Because at the end of the day, if a defensive end's coming around the edge, you can always step up and work your way up in the pocket. But if you have some chaos up front from a defensive tackle that's right at your feet and right in front of you, there's nowhere to work. There's nowhere to step up. So I think this defense is one of the best. I think at the end of the year, if they stay healthy, this will be one of the better defenses that this league has seen because of the guys they have. They can play cover one and play man all day long, and both those corners can cover Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, whoever it is. Those guys can be dominant outside. And now you have two defensive tackles that are both extremely dominant and have been dominant since they stepped foot in the league. There's not going to be a nice pocket to step into. There's not going to be many throws where you're transferring your weight from your back foot to your front foot as a quarterback and getting the velocity on the ball and getting the zip on the ball that you want. I just don't think you're going to see quarterbacks with great passer ratings and high completion percentages coming out against the Rams because they're that good all over the football field.
What can you do offensively then to try to avoid the pass rushers? I know they come in the middle and on the outside, but from a scheme standpoint, what do the Raiders do to try to avoid this?
Well, I think the one thing you have to do is you got to control the football. You cannot have turnovers. This is a team that thrives off of turnovers. As soon as the Rams get a turnover, they are taking a shot. They're going to run Brandon Cooks on the deep post over the middle. They're going to run a screen with Todd Gurley. They can do so much on offense once they create that transition, that you got the ball on offense and all of a sudden you have a turnover and all of a sudden, woe is me, we got to stop these guys, and there's all these weapons they have on offense. So the one thing you can't do is give them the football. And you got to hope for field goals. I mean, you can't think you're going to have four drives where you go from your own 25 and go down the field and score a touchdown. You got to find a way to not turn the football over and find a way to get some field goals out of it because this defense is that good.
Carson Palmer with us here on 95.7 The Game. Your NFL Network, A Football Life, is going to run Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific. If there's one thing you could maybe share with us about what we're going to see, what would it be? Bruce Arians always comes across as quite an interesting character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll have some real good one-liners. I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to watch it. So I know they interviewed my guy, Chad Ochocinco. I'm sure he's going to have some really funny one-liners. And he and I went through a lot and spent a lot of time together. So I'm sure he'll have a couple good stories about me that I've forgotten about. But I just think it was a great opportunity for me to show my kids that don't remember my football days. They remember going to the games, but they probably never watched an actual snap. They were looking at everything else that there is to offer inside of a football stadium because they're that young. So it was a great opportunity for my kids to kind of get a chance to see what the football days were, what the playing days were, and it starts all the way back in elementary school when I first put on a football helmet and goes to my 15th year in the NFL. So I think it'll be a cool chance for people to see kind of start to finish for me.
Awesome. 5 p.m. Pacific this Friday, September 14th, A Football Life with Carson Palmer, who is joining us right here on 95.7 The Game. Carson, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Good luck with retirement, man. Enjoy yourself.
I will. Thanks for having me on, fellas. Have a great day.
That's got to be crazy because you look at the career and, he played 14, but then you got to add in USC and high school and middle school, and you realize how many decades go by where you're playing football. It's like 90-some percent of your life, and then all of a sudden fall comes around, and you don't have it anymore.
Right. And, he tells you his body just gave out on him. Here's a guy who, played at a very, very high level, and you saw the knee injuries, 4 or 5 surgeries he alluded to, And you just know when it's time, and it's unfortunate. You know, you know it's time, and you just have to move out of the way and understand it's a young man game. But you're absolutely right, Joe. Here's a guy, you know, 39, 40 years old, and for 30 years of it, for, you know, 80-some percent of his life, he was on a football field since, you know, 6, 7 years old. So it is a long time, and shoot, half your life, over half of his life, this guy's been out on the field, and now it's no longer there. So he's enjoying it, but his mentor's perspective just about football in itself.
Is there anyone out there who will consider Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback than Tom Brady when it's all said and done? Because it feels as if, and this isn't meant to make the case for him, it just feels as if we see these moments from him like we saw last night so often. And everyone always talks about the raw athleticism and everything he's done, and the numbers are there, and there's a Super Bowl win, and we get it, right? There doesn't really seem to be much of a flaw in the game. But is there anything that can be done to pass Tom Brady? Short of having to win like 5 more Super Bowls.
Maybe if he broke some of his records, the single season touchdown record, for example, if he has a year like that, it's getting pretty late in his career to do that. But Tom Brady has showed you that you can play well into your 40s and continue to play well. So if he gets back to the Super Bowl and wins a second chip and has a record-breaking season, then I think you could put him in that pantheon.
Knowing what you know right now about both guys, all this information is available for you. You're starting a team. Both guys are the same age, same health. They haven't played at all yet, but you know you've seen this. You know who Rodgers is. You know who Brady's going to be. You have the exact same amount of money to spend on each guy and on everyone around them. Who would you take to build the franchise around?
For me, it's Tom. Now, here's the thing. Now, I do believe that Aaron Rodgers can still possibly be a better quarterback than him if in the future, maybe. But here's what I love about Tom. If you watched last night, did Aaron Rodgers win the game, or did Aaron Rodgers throw it to a receiver and the receivers went 80 yards when he threw it to Fresno State down the goal line? Did he break a guy's ankle? Aaron does a lot of things that you love to see him throw the ball, and a lot of times his catch after the run. If you look at, take Randy Moss out of that equation when Randy was in New England, but go watch Brady. Watch how he just can dink, he can dunk. He's in the pocket. He doesn't going to hurt you with his legs, but he just little slights move. He's like a magician in the pocket, steps up, throws the ball to guys in double coverage, two defenders on him. He can thread the ball where no one's ever done it in this league. He knows where to go with this ball like no other. Aaron Rodgers is a great talent, and I think Aaron Rodgers still, I think he's going to be go down to me with the way that he plays the game, top 5 quarterbacks that ever played this game. But I really believe the way that Brady does it with less athletic ability, less mobility, he hits guys, he knows where to go with the ball. I just think that I would still have Brady.
Rodgers or Manning?
That one would be close for me.
Why? Eli's not that great.
Yeah, Eli. No, I agree. Eli. No, I take him any day over Eli.
It was a joke.
No, I know what you're saying. I totally get it.
I totally get it.
All right, so pivoting, can we get Guru in here, please? If we get an opportunity update Low versus Dibs through 14 games. Low currently 10-3-1, Dibs 9-4-1. Not bad, gentlemen. Not bad at all for the first week. 2 games tonight. Are there any differences of opinion tonight?
No, there aren't. We both are on Detroit, and we both are on the Los Angeles Rams in the second half of the Monday night doubleheader.
Okay, so
why'd you do that to me?
Low will own a 1-game edge heading to Thursday night. Now, side bets. How many side bets are there? Is it just the Cleveland one, or did something else come into play?
Just the Cleveland bet. We've got the Low versus Dibs, which is a round of golf for me if I win anywhere in Northern California. And if he wins, I have to spend 1 day on the farm, which people I was asking, they think it's a pretty fair wager both ways, you know?
It's certainly an interesting wager.
Yes.
This is the most important thing. It's very interesting.
And then the Cleveland side bet, which is over under 5.5 wins for Cleveland. Unfortunately, they couldn't quite get the old win there, Lowski. So you're stuck on 0 wins for the Cleveland Browns.
Dak Prescott, a.k.a. Daryl the Guru Johnson, joining us here on 95.7 The Game right now. Guru, we'll get to your takes in a moment, but I believe you, Bonte Hill, our very own Anna, and Gianna all took part in a fundraiser this weekend for a wonderful cause.
Yes, and when you were out there, as we were Saturday morning, They did the national anthem. They had the band.
Right.
I mean, it really hit home. It wasn't just about me and how fast I can get up the stairs. And Anna, I got to just shout you out. She brought us together and said, you know what brought you guys up? Everybody back at home, the station, is going to wonder who came in first, second, or third. Let's just all bond together. And I'm listening like, no, I'm here for my time. I want to win number one. And I threw all that out the window, the competitive thing. We're a group. And I come in today and Lo goes, 25 minutes.
No, 23.
23 minutes.
And you stopped a couple times to drink.
Let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and do this. For the love of God, can we at least tell the people what was happening this weekend before we get into the details? I didn't realize that was going to need to be done, but could you please tell me what you people were doing Saturday morning?
So this Saturday was the best. Last Saturday was a San Francisco first responder stair climb. We went up 52-story building, climbing up the stairs, and it was all to benefit first responders who suffer from PTSD. And that's
a
what the
noble
funds
cause, and a very wonderful cause. It is so great that you were all out there for that. Why no one understands the five W's, the who, what, when, where, why, and then we get into the analysis is beyond me. But we are there now. Now we've established the situation. So Anna has convinced you that you're all working as a team.
No doubt.
All for one, one for all. Let's all just work together on this thing.
Yeah. I actually finished behind.
19 minutes.
I finished behind Anna, and I'm proud of that feat. It was like walking up, Jack went up the beanstalk. This was farther than that. And I was saying to myself, my God, I got to have a good showing. And I finished second. So I drove home in the caddy like, nobody's going to know what I finished in. We had a good time. And then Lo Neal just kind of barked at me like he was disappointed in my time. So I looked around the room. I said, hey, Dibs, who knew the time? And Anna... I felt stabbed in the back. I will first want to apologize because I did short you on your time.
You actually were faster. You were 2 minutes faster than I said. That was Bonte's time. So I apologize for that first off. I personally thought they were all good times. I think that the fact that we completed it, it is out there also on the internet. They do have all our times posted. So it is out there for everyone to see.
But you had said that there'd be a pack that you wouldn't say and you all would finish together.
I didn't say that we... No. What I actually said was depending on how we do here, we
Anna,
will potentially go 5 minutes.
Like,
well, we could I was joking. We could subtract 5 minutes from our time, just make it look like we did even
I'm with
faster.
You, Anna. Why would you want to lie? It's charity.
Because we wanted to make sure to look good for each other. But
and then we did the
super
friend handshake.
You all already look good. Everyone looks good for participating.
And we had the warrior handshake
Anna,
like it was a
don't
pack.
Apologize. Anna, don't apologize.
Handshake.
Thank you. Anna, don't apologize. You made it in 19. He made 16. It in 20. I'm 16.
She shaked me.
16. And did you run? Did you start off sprinting?
I just started off like Carl Lewis.
Thank you.
That's not hard to believe.
Yeah, Fred
Carl
Zaffer.
Lewis wasn't a hurdler.
But that was the thing we had said. Just don't run because you're going to get tired.
She told you don't run. You and Bonte sprinted up, and she said this.
No, I didn't see Bonte. I was ahead of Bonte.
But you guys did you not get tired? Did you not?
Yes,
work?
I got to like the 9th or 10th.
And you stopped because you and Anna kept going.
Yes, but real quick, fellas. This flight of stairs, two stairs equal one.
It was crazy.
So I'm like, oh, I'm on the next floor. No, you're not. You got to go another one to get credit for it, the number to change. And I was like, it was like a Fred Sanford
moment.
So
you couldn't have changed it. Then your time wouldn't have changed, though, right? Because you were tired.
I would have went at it different. I had some Jack and Cokes on Friday, and I went hard Friday thinking I'm going to just knock this out.
Yeah, of course. Didn't take it serious.
Yeah.
He was hurting.
Let me ask you, are we surprised that Anna beat him? This is an event in which you've got to climb stairs. The smaller frame, the lighter frame would have the advantage, would it not?
But there's no ball.
Well, he does have longer legs, so basically, like, we had
Ben. What do long legs matter?
Well, like, Ben from sales, he actually did the event as well, too, and he would
take
one step. You did finish before Ben.
Ben's 12 feet tall. He should have taken 2 steps in midnight.
He did. He took 2 steps, and then for every he took 1 step, and it was like 2 steps for me.
Anna did.
Like he would skip
him, Joe. And the thing about it, if I was not in town, I would have beat Anna. And Anna knows.
Well, we know.
Oh,
you
were
actually
would have
beat Anna.
You said yes, and you ended up on the website,
Lo,
and then you didn't raise any money.
And
he did not say. I will say, Lo did not say yes.
Had
he said
here,
he couldn't
Dibs,
do it, but they never took him off the list.
Had I been here, I definitely would have done it.
I was going to see my son. Why are you going to do this, Joe? You know I had to go see my son. You're going to sit here and do that?
I was sitting there when they asked you to do it. You said yes. I saw your picture up on the website. Anna brought it up.
You said no. You did say no. I was there when he said he couldn't do it.
Anna went all over North and stabbed me in the back. I love her. She's my angel.
I apologize.
We did the super friend pack, all put the hands in, go! And I was like, nobody's going to hear nothing.
You were tricked.
And the day I got shanked like an episode of Oz.
I'm going to be all right.
I'll be all right. Right now.
Guru and Steiny are coming up next. Cam Inman's going to join him at 11 o'clock. Thanks to all of you for hanging out with us today. If you're heading to the Coliseum, be safe, be smart, but have some fun. Week one versus Los Angeles Rams. For Dibs, Anna, and Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out today with us, everybody. It is always greatly appreciated. We're back tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Silver and Black are... Derek Carr and the Raiders take on Todd Gurley and the Rams in a Monday Night Football showdown.
Carr back, gonna fire deep down the middle. Amari Cooper grabs it.
Coverage starts tonight at 6 on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.